let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The President's Escort, the Joseph Browning Corbin story, is an adventure-filled journey through time from Corbin's early life in the Shenandoah Mountains during Prohibition into the farmlands of Culpeper County, Virginia. The true story spins the reader through a tornado that leaves the toddler homeless to the ravages of World War II combat in the bitter cold with General George S. Patton in the Battle of the Bulge. It then weaves through the streets of Washington, D.C. and the White House amidst its politics, relationships, and fanfare. Joseph Corbin is a public speaker and author whose life experiences include combat in World War II, as I said, under General Patton, a career with the Metropolitan Police Department, and as a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., where he served alongside five U.S. presidents. Mr. Corbin lives with his wife Nancy in Seminole, Florida, credits the Lord with seeing him through tragedies as well as triumphs. Joseph Corbin, author of The President's Escort, The Joseph Browning Corbin Story, is our special guest on This Week in America. Mr. Corbin, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So much to talk about. What a life that you've led that you're sharing with people now through the book, The President's Escort. Let's talk about the reason for this. Why did you decide to tell your story? I mean, all the remarkable things you've accomplished in your life. Why did you decide, what was the motivation to write this book?
Yeah, well, one of the people that I have in this book, Pat Choi, she's a member of our church, and she's also a school teacher up at Ridgecrest Elementary School, teaching the fourth grade gifted students. And she invited me to come up to give a talk to them, and I wasn't sure whether the students would be interested in this particular subject or not. But when I got up there and started talking to them, you could hear a pin drop. They were very quiet.
Yes.
And listened to everything you told them. And they had so many questions that they wanted to ask. And Pat only gave me 10 minutes after my talk to answer the questions, which meant I only got two or three of them. And each year after that, I've gone back up there and talked to her students. And they're always the same. They're just extremely interested in that part of history.
Well, it's an amazing story, yes, and because of that, you wrote the book. The book is The President's Escort, The Joseph Browning Corbin Story, Joseph P. Corbin, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon and the usual places, and I can imagine the kids would have literally hours worth of questions if they had the time and you had the time to be there and to tell the story. And let's go back a little bit in the beginning, and then we'll get up to Washington, D.C. Well, and along the way, we'll talk about being in battle as well. What was it like growing up for you during that period, during the Prohibition in the Shenandoah Mountain region? What was that like?
Well, that was during the Depression.
Yes.
In the early 30s, and nobody had any money to speak of. So my parents would put out a big garden, and the neighbors would come by, and my mother was always saying, go down and get whatever you want out of the garden. And they would get whatever they wanted and take it home. Excuse me. And that was the life that I remember in the Shenandoah Valley there. And they're just wonderful people.
Oh, yes.
And many of them were just like us, no money, but they had a heart of gold, so.
Well, we sort of get the power of community as we're reading the story of your early life there and everybody jumping in together to help out each other. And to get to that point, you had to survive a tornado that left the family homeless. Do you remember anything about that period?
I was only 3 and a half years old.
Wow.
But morning, my father went up to Washington, Little Washington, Virginia, to get some groceries, and it started getting dark, and it was almost like midnight, heavy rain, and in a split second, the house was gone, and Mr. Saddle, who worked for us, was sitting at the table with us, and my mother and my old brother and my youngest sister, the three kids and the two adults. And when the house blew away, we were up on top of the stones of the house, and we looked for Mr. Saddle, and we didn't know where he was, and he was buried down under the stones. So my mother moved all of the stones and got him out, and we put him out on the lawn and back, and he looked up at her and smiled, and he said, "Thank you." And that was the last breath he took.
Oh, what a... These stories you'll find in the book by Joseph Brandon Corbin, our guest on the program, The President's Escort, book available at Amazon, all of the places. It said, toddler, I wasn't quite sure how old you were when that happened, and that is an experience that would stay with you for life and trying to rebuild, which the family was able to do. Let's talk about World War II, the combat, the bitter cold, you're at the Battle of the Bulge with General George Patton. And by the way, I understand recently you were awarded a French honor, the highest honor in France. What was that? Explain that a little bit.
The Charge of Affairs called me and wanted to know if I could meet him at a new school that they just built here in Seminole on 60. Second Avenue, and I said yes, and he said, "Well, I'm going to award you the Legion of Honor." He said, "That's the highest award that the French government gives to anybody," and so he permitted me to invite 100 people, and of course you get a few from the church and a few from Freedom Square here and a yes. few friends. My sister and her husband flew down here for the presentation, and it was just really remarkable, and we really enjoyed it, and I have it, and the mayor has said we're going to find a place to put that so that when you leave this world, we'll have a trophy room with your trophies in it. And so she's working on that now to see where we're going to leave it for other people to see it. And,
yes.
And they wanted to give me an award up in Washington, D.C. And I told them I didn't want to come up there. And they said, "But we're going to pay your way." I said, "I don't want to come." "Well, if you don't come up here, we'll send a delegation down there." So they sent 7 down here.
Wow.
And they presented me with an award from Washington, D.C., which was made up just for me, I guess. Had my name on it and all.
Well, fantastic. And, you know, congratulations on all of that and what a legacy you are leaving in that community and to people all across the United States in what you've done and where you came for. And touch briefly on the World War II experience and being there with Patton at the Battle of the Bulge, and then we'll talk about all your experiences rubbing shoulders with presidents in Washington, D.C. What were those experiences like, World War II? I mean, those really were difficult circumstances, weren't they?
Patton was a great leader.
Yes.
And you had to be around him to see how he acted, but he just loved being in the war because he got to be up front there, and he would stop and talk to you. In fact, if the day he was killed, I called him to headquarters there in Wiesbaden, Germany. And when he came out, I was standing guard duty there, and he came over and threw his arm around my shoulder, and he said, "Anything I can do for you, soldier?" And I said, "I can't think of anything, General, but thanks for asking." And with that, he got in his staff car and headed back for Berlin, and about a half hour later, we got word that he'd been killed on the Autobahn. A truck pulled out in front of him, which looked like a setup to us.
Yes.
Several of us around there said, you know, something like that just doesn't happen. So I was so sorry to hear about him, because no other general would come over and talk to you like he would.
Yes.
But he just treated you real good if you were doing your job. If you didn't do your job, boy, he'd really let you know it.
Yeah, I'm sure you would hide if you didn't do your job and you saw General Patton coming your way. There's so many great stories in Joseph Corbin's book, The President's Escort, the Joseph Browning Corbin story. The book's available at the usual places. I'll direct you to Amazon. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on and get all of the information. Let's talk about after the war. How did you end up in Washington, D.C. with the Metropolitan Police Department and riding a motorcycle escort brigade for five U.S. presidents? How did that all happen?
Well, when the war was over and I came back home and helped my dad on the farm there for a while. And then I went over to Baltimore to the shipyard over there, Bethlehem Steel. And they went out on strike shortly after I got there. And they didn't get as much money as they wanted. So we went back to work. And maybe 4 or 5 months later, they decided to go out on strike again. And so I said, I'm not going to stay over here and continually be going out on strike like this. So I came to Washington. And my brother-in-law worked for the Home Beneficial Life Insurance Company, and he said, "You can come to work here and write insurance." Well, writing insurance was not what I'm cut out to do.
I can understand that.
I tried it for a while, but it just didn't turn out to what I wanted.
Yes.
So I went ahead and put in my application for the police department, and I put one in for the Maryland State Police, too. And I had a cousin on the Maryland State Police, and I met him one day for lunch, and he said, "Don't take the Maryland State Police job." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, they make you live in the barracks for 6 months. You can't be married." And he says, "Another thing is, if your commanding officer doesn't like you, he'll transfer you from one end of the state to the other." And he said, "In Washington, D.C., they can transfer you from one precinct to the other, but it's only a few miles apart."
Yes, yes.
I took his advice, and when I went on to the department after my basic training, they assigned me up to White House to help the pedestrians across the street there that were coming out of the White House that had been in there to see the five rooms that they permit you to go through. And so being up there, I would see President Truman just about every day, and he'd come by and chat with me, and every now and then he'd say, "Let me see your hands." I'd put my hands out, and I said, "Mr. President, can I ask you something?" He said, "Sure." I said, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "You haven't joined the Masons yet." I said, Mr. President, I don't know anything about masonry. He came over and put his arm around my shoulder, and he said, son, I'm going to tell you all you need to know about masonry. Well, with that, you really start listening. He said, it only takes good men to make some better men. That's all you need to know. So when I joined the Masons and he came to my lodge, everybody in there wanted to address him as Mr. President. So he got up and addressed the worshipful master. He said, would you instruct the brethren that in here, I'm Brother Harry. He didn't want to be addressed as Mr. President.
Brother Harry. So,
he was actually entitled to a much higher greeting than that because he was a former Grand Master of the state of Missouri, and that carries the title of Most Worshipful Brother. But he didn't ask for that. He just said, tell the brethren in here, I'm Brother Harry. So that's how they started addressing him. But he would come by and spend sometimes up to 10 minutes standing there talking, chatting with me. And I really enjoyed the time he spent, but I think in his own mind, he must have adopted me as his son because he was just so good to me. And when I went on a motorcycle, almost right away, they called me in and said, we're going to transfer you over to the Special Operations Division. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do over there? So when they did transfer me, they told me, said, well, you're going to be the president's escort. So I'm sure that Brother Harry Truman
yes.
had a lot to do with that, but he never once told me that. He never said, I interceded on your behalf. And the last time he came to Washington, they were giving luncheon for him up to Mayflower Hotel. And so the Secret Service man that was assigned to him picked up the phone and called out to headquarters and said, we want an escort for the president. He said he came over and jerked that phone out of his hand. He said, we don't want an escort for the president. I want Joe Corbett, and hung up the phone. Pastor said, he came out and he said, where are you located? Well, I usually was pretty close around the White House most of the time, and I was just a couple blocks away. And he said, well, go up to the Blair House and see the president. So I went up there and went on. Opened the door, walked in. He was sitting in the far corner, and he jumped up and trotted across the room and grabbed me and gave me a big bear hug and said how happy he was to see me. And I said, I'm happy to see you too, Mr. President. He said, now they're giving this luncheon for me up at the Mayflower Hotel. Don't have to be up there till 11:30, so which way are you going to take me? I looked at my watch, it was 11:15, and it's only a 3 or 4 minute run up there. And I said, we'll go up 17th Street and into Sales Street the back way. He said, I don't want to go that way. I said, well, which way you want to go? He said, I want to go up Pennsylvania Avenue here, up Connecticut Avenue, and into Sales Street that way. I said, fine, we can go that way. I said, but it's going to be a lot of traffic and a lot of pedestrians out on the street. And he said, and you drive slow, too. And I said, hey, why do you want to go that way? He says, because there's more pretty girls.
A little insight into Harry Truman. I mean, so many great stories in Joseph Corbin's book. The book is The President's Escort, the Joseph Browning Corbin story. Couple minutes left in the program. Boy, I feel like one of those school kids wanted to ask so many questions and running out of time. So I'm glad that you wrote the book so we all can look at that. But during the five presidents that Joseph drove for, motorcycle escort, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon, What was it like? How did the world change for you and your job as a motorcycle escort November 22nd of 1963? What was that like for you to receive the word that President Kennedy had been assassinated?
It was like me losing a brother, because he and I hit it off good together, and he was like a brother to me. And when he wanted to have a speech.
Yes.
Going over the State Department, and so he had it set up. So I escorted him over for his address to the press there. And when I got him back to the White House, he put the window down. He had the driver stop. And he said, "I'll see you when I get back, Joe." And he'd never done that before. And I said, "Okay, Mr. President, have a nice trip." But apparently he had some premonition of this happening, because I told him, I said, "I'm going to go on a hunting trip while you're down in Texas." And he said, "Well, I'd rather be going with you than where I'm going." Meaning Houston.
Yes.
And I've always remembered that. That was something that he was not looking forward to.
Yeah, I can just imagine how those words, obviously you recall that picture like it happened just a couple of weeks ago when you heard those words. I've got about a minute or so left here. The last president you served as a motorcycle escort was Richard Nixon. We don't think of him as a necessarily warm person. Did you have any relationship, any interaction with President Nixon?
Oh, he was real good to me. I had him as vice president under Eisenhower, and Eisenhower would not go to the airport to meet any of the dignitaries that he had invited here. So Nixon and I would always go to the airport and meet him, escort him to the White House, and the last official visitor that Eisenhower had was Charles de Gaulle, the president of France.
Oh, yes.
And so I thought to myself, well, he'll want to go to the airport to meet him, because they were generals together. Now they're presidents of their country together. And when I asked him, he said, "No, you and Nixon go to the airport and escort him here to the White House, and I'll greet him here in the Rose Garden." So that's what we did. We escorted him. And that picture on the front of my book is from that particular escort. When I got in there, it must have been 50 photographers there, and I asked one of them, I said, "Take a picture of my motorcycle. I just got this brand new motorcycle for Kennedy's inauguration." And so he took a picture of it, and it's all of me, and very little that you can see of the motorcycle.
But it's a great picture that's on the cover of the book. Boy, there's so many great stories, and I highly recommend you pick up a copy and follow all that. I mean, so personal with the presidents. It wasn't just like you were in a detail and you would wave occasionally at the president. There was this interaction that Joseph has talked about. His book is The President's Escort, The Joseph Browning Corbin Story, written by Joseph Corbin, along with Susan Funk, who is a personality, a radio personality, and a speaker as well. The book is available at Amazon, at all of the usual places. It's a great story, so well told by Joseph, and this was started with captivating kids in school, and he had to write the book, and we're all better off for it. It's an excellent read. The President's Escort, The Joseph Browning Corbin Story. Joseph, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for sharing some time with us and some of those great memories you have.
It's my pleasure. If somebody would like me to have come and speak to a group or something, I'd be happy to do it. I do that when they invite me. A lot of times they'll get a large group together.
Oh, yes.
I go and talk to them and answer any questions that they may have.
And my advice would be just to leave enough time. Don't give Joseph 10 minutes for his talk and 5 minutes for questions and answers. There are so many great stories in his book, and we'll have all that information on our website so you can get in touch with Joseph. It's The President's Escort, the Joseph Browning Corbin Story. Joseph, once again, thank you for being with us on the program. Loved having the chance to talk with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.